I have probably a half dozen of these little studies already outlined. I keep about anywhere from 4 to 6 ahead of myself. And I've had this one on docket to teach for 2 months, I guess. But it's not quite as practical as the others, and because it's not, I haven't taught it. But I think tonight I will teach it. I've been asking the Lord to give me some kind of a sign, and I think maybe he did, I'm not sure. But you can't go wrong teaching the Bible. So I'm going to teach tonight on the science of responsibility. The science of responsibility. It's not going to change your life, but it may teach you something and may alleviate some of your fears and apprehensions. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to read several verses tonight, now and in our study. Deuteronomy, chapter number 24, verse number 16. One verse, the fathers, this is Deuteronomy 24:16, the fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. Now turn, please, to 2 Kings chapter 14. 2 Kings chapter 14, verse number 6. But the children of the murderers he slew not, according unto that which is written in the book of the law of Moses, wherein the Lord commanded, saying, the fathers shall not be put to death for the children, nor the children be put to death for the fathers, but every man shall be put to death for his own sin. Now a couple of books over to 2 Chronicles chapter 25. 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 4. But he slew not their children, but did as it is written in the law of the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the fathers shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. Now to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 29. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth a sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. They had a little proverb or a little saying that they would use in those days. The fathers have eaten sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. He said, no, that's not true. He said, whoever eats the sour grape, he's the one whose teeth are going to be set on edge. Our Heavenly Father, bless our study tonight. I pray you'd give us encouragement because of it. And I pray your purpose shall be accomplished in this study. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, it's one of those studies that's not going to be as spectacular as others. It's not going to be something that's real practical for you, but I think it'll set a lot of you at ease. I'm going to talk tonight on the science of responsibility. You'll have to follow me very carefully. So many scriptures I was going to read, but we're a little late tonight. I'm just going to tell you about them, and we'll read some, and I'll quote some. John 1:9 says that Jesus was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now get your mind right, wrap your mind now. Take your mind off whatever else it's on right now, and follow me. Jesus said, He is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now that means that every man in the world has some light concerning Jesus Christ. Well, you say, how about the people in the savages and the tribes of the islands and the back country? How about them? All right, they do have some light. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Goes on in verse 3 to say, there is no language in which their voice is not heard. That means that everybody on the face of the earth can look up to the sky and be told that there is somebody who made that. Now you've heard me say this often. If a person dies without Christ, he goes to hell. Well, you say, Brother Hiles, how can a person go to hell who's never heard about Christ? All he's done is seen the stars and the moon and the sun. What, does he go to hell? Oh, yes, he does. Why does he go to hell? Because he rejects the light that he has. He looks at the moon and the stars and the sun and does not accept. The Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God.
So the heavens say there's somebody up here, and a person looks at that and does not believe there's somebody up there, is rejecting the light that he has. Now let's suppose he accepts the light that he has. That means God will give him more light. He accepts that, God will give him more light. And as long as he continues to accept what light he has, he will continue to receive more light till someday he will hear the gospel. So you can go to hell without ever hearing the gospel. You go to hell because you reject the light that you have. And if you accept the light you have, you'll get more light. Accept that, get more light. Accept that, get more light. Now, that shows me something. Every man is responsible for himself. Every man is responsible for himself. Now listen carefully. It is not your fault if anybody goes to hell. You're not going to answer to God for anybody that goes to hell. Now, don't leave me yet, because I'll explain it to you in a minute. Every man's responsible. Now, some are more responsible than others. For example, Revelation 20:13, it says that the great white throne judgment, that every man was judged out of the books according to their works. So there'll be degrees of punishment in hell according to the works. So some are more accountable for others. Four times in the Bible, one time is Matthew 10:15, Jesus said, "Woe unto you, Tyre and Sidon, woe unto you, Bethsaida and Chorazin. If the works that had been done in you had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes a long time ago. And it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for you." Now, what's God saying? God is saying that Bethsaida, Chorazin, Tyre, and Sidon had more light than Sodom and Gomorrah had. Can you imagine if Sodom and Gomorrah will be treated better in the judgment than Tyre and Sidon? I wonder how America's going to be treated in the judgment. Now you listen carefully. You die and go to hell from America, and you will suffer more than a person who died and went to hell from the city of Sodom that was destroyed by fire. Now listen to me. I'm saying every man is responsible for himself. Some more responsible than others. Now, if you go to hell, I am not responsible for your going to hell. You say, "Brother House, what if you don't tell me how to go to heaven?" I have committed the sin of not telling you how to go to heaven, and I'm responsible because I didn't warn you. Are you following me now? But I'm not responsible because you go to hell. You're responsible because you go to hell. Every man will die for his own sin. You won't die for my sin. Now, the sin that Ezekiel 3, and I think it's about verse 17 and following, and then again in Ezekiel 33, and then hold on to this, but I think it's about verse 7 and following, maybe 7 through 9, it says almost the same thing. It says, if you see your brother in his sin and don't warn him, his blood's required at your hands, but he himself will pay for his sin. Now, you'll pay for not warning him, but you'll not... You're not responsible. Every man that goes to hell chooses to go to hell. Then the sin that you and I commit is the sin of not warning him. Now listen carefully. That means if you never win a soul, you're still supposed to go soul winning. People sometimes say to me, "Brother Howes, I went out soul winning and I witnessed the 10 people didn't have any success at all." Oh, yes, you did. Oh, yes, you did. Because you obeyed the command of God. See, the Bible says that if you don't warn him, So our job is to warn. But now get it carefully. If we do not warn them, we are not responsible for their going to hell. They're responsible. What we're responsible for is not warning them. Now get that line of difference there between the sin. you didn't warn me. You're going to answer to God because I go to hell. Oh, no, I'm not. No. I may answer to God because I wasn't clear in my warning, but I won't answer to God because you go to hell. You'll answer to God because you go to hell. Now, I've applied it to the unsaved. Let me apply it to Christian people. Young people down here on the front, if you go bad, it's not my fault. It's your fault. It's not your unsaved daddy's fault. It's your fault. It's not your environment's fault. It's your fault. It's not the fact that you were molested as a child. It's your fault. It's nobody's fault but yours if you go bad. Now, if I don't preach to you, I'll have to face God for not preaching to you, but not for you going bad. You understand what I'm saying? Now, that means this. I'm not responsible, and neither are you. Brother Eddie, you're not. And those that work with the schools, Brother Claire, you're not. Brother Jeff, you're not. Those work with young people, you're not responsible for young people turn out bad. But you are, the young people, you are responsible. If we never warn you, you still have a conscience. If we never warn you, there's still Bibles. And you, everybody in this church, I don't care if you're young or old, you have enough warning if we never warn you. So we're not going to be responsible for you turning out bad. We're responsible for not warning you. So actually, our sin is disobedience. If we don't train you right, if your mom and dad don't train you right, we'll get to that in a few minutes. It's disobedience, but it's not their fault because you turn out bad. This whole country, everybody's a victim. Everybody's a victim. I'm a victim of my environment. I'm a victim of my parents. I'm a victim of my church. I'm a victim of my preacher. I'm a victim of society. No, no, you're not either. You are responsible yourself, and those of us who teach you and train you are not going to answer to God because you didn't turn out right. You're going to answer to God for that. If we don't train you, we'll answer to God for being disobedient. Now, that means that I am responsible to warn you, but as far as responsibility is concerned, these two are not related. Now, let's look at children. We've looked at unsaved people. We've looked at Christian people. Let's look at your children. You are a mom and a dad. Let's look at your children. Turn, please, to Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter number 18, verse number 1. We read almost the same thing a while ago in Jeremiah 31. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, what mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth have set on edge. Now look at me for a minute. This book was written while the Jews were in captivity. They were slaves in the land of Babylon. And they were saying, our fathers have sinned, and that's why we are in Babylon. No, they're in Babylon because they sinned. They were in captivity because they sinned. Now, I want to get that scripture. You're already thinking about that scripture. The sins of the generation visited third and fourth generation. I'll get there after a while, so don't get your gun loaded because I'm going to empty it in a few minutes. But it says here, these people were in captivity. Their houses had been destroyed, and their temple had been destroyed, and the walls around Jerusalem had been destroyed, and the city had been destroyed. And now they're in captivity in Ezekiel, in Babylon, in the book of Ezekiel, they're in captivity, and they're saying that our fathers have eaten sour grapes, and our teeth are on edge. Now listen carefully to me. They're saying it's Daddy's fault. Look what God said in verse number 3. As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. He said, shut up. He said, that's not true. The same thing was said in Jeremiah 31, 29, 30. Same thing. They had this little proverb, our fathers ate the sour grapes and our teeth are set on edge. And God said, no, sir. He said, your teeth are set on edge because of the sour grapes that you have eaten. Now look down to verse number 19. No, verse number 4. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. I get this. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. So, who's responsible? The one that sins. Now, look at me carefully now. Who's responsible? The one that didn't train you? No, the one that sins. Didn't say the soul that doesn't train shall die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Who's responsible? You women. Listen to me now. I'm talking to you. You ladies are not good wives. And you say, oh, I'm not a good wife because I was molested by my father. It's my father's fault. No, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. God doesn't put a bunch of reservations on his commandments. God doesn't say, thou shalt not steal unless you live in the ghettos. God doesn't say, thou shalt not kill unless you've been oppressed. God said, thou shalt not commit adultery unless you've grown up in a family that's immoral. Now, I want to tell you something. You are going to give account of yourself to God. Now, look down to verse number 19. Makes it more plain. You'll see it easier. Yet, say ye, why doth not the Son bear the iniquity of the Father? When the Son hath done that which is lawful and right, hath kept all the statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now look at me. God had said to his people, he said, you got a proverb. The fathers ate the grapes, and the sons had the bitter taste in their mouths. Our teeth are set on edge. He said, that's not true. Don't you say that proverb. But they said, now wait a minute. They said, doth not the Son bear the iniquity of the Father? And God said, no, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now you listen to me. This whole country is built on the concept it's somebody else's fault. God said, the one that's going to die is not the one that influenced the sinner, but the sinner. I don't care how much you're tempted. Okay, the smartest person in the universe outside God himself, and the most beautiful person in the universe outside God himself came and tempted Adam and Eve. And the Bible says, as by one man, sin entered in the world. And Eve, Adam said, Eve did it. And Eve said, the devil did it. And God said, Adam, stand up like a man. You're the one that brought sin in the world, not the devil. You are, as by one man, not by Lucifer, not by Satan, as by one man, sin entered into the world. I don't care, listen carefully, I don't care how many enticements you have to sin, you are going to answer for your sin. Over to the house, I went to this party, and a bunch of high school kids were there. They were all drinking beer, and they were laughing at me because I wouldn't drink beer. And I drank it because they forced me. No, you didn't. You drank it because you chose to drink it, and you're the guy that's going to answer for that sin. Now, they're going to sin because they did wrong, but they're not going to answer for your sin. You're going to answer for your own sin. You go to the average psychologist, which is a synonym for idiot. You go to the average psychologist, a psychiatrist these days, and he'll tell you, he'll say, lay down here. Now, tell me about your uncles and your aunts. Oh, shut up. That guy is responsible for his own sins. All right, look at it. Verse number 20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now get this. You won't get it plainer than this. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father. Neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Didn't say the wickedness of the wicked should be upon him that led him to be wicked. It said be upon him that chose to be wicked. Now, what does that mean? Listen carefully. I'm going to help you. It's going to shock some of you. You are not responsible for how your children turn out. You are responsible to train them. That's what it says right here. You are not responsible for how your children turn out. The child is responsible for how he turns out. You kids down here, if you don't turn out right, you can't point to your mom and dad and say they're responsible. They're not. You will be responsible. Now, okay, then what's mom and dad responsible for? They're responsible to train them. Just like your soul winning. You present the plan of salvation as best you can, make it plain. You pray about it, and somebody doesn't get saved, they go to hell. And you're not responsible. You warned them. Now, if you do what you can to train your children, and they decide not to do what you said, you are not responsible. They are responsible because the child cannot, the parent does not bear the responsibility for the sin of the child. That's what it said right here. You're responsible for training them. They are responsible for how they turn out, and it's their fault and not yours. Now, hold it. If you don't train them, then you're going to answer to God for not training them, but you're not going to answer to God for how they turned out. You see the division there? You're going to answer to God for how for you not training them. But, young folks, listen. If they don't train you, you're still supposed to turn out right. If your mom and dad never read you a verse in the Bible, if they never pray for you one time, never take you to Sunday school and church, you're still responsible for how you turn out. Now you won't want to sing anymore, will you? Sitting down at the front. It just so happens that the worst kids we got are in the same group. And but I want to say, I want to say to you parents, you say, Brother Hiles, I have failed. My daughter, 18 years old and not married, she got pregnant. That doesn't mean you failed unless you didn't teach her. She is responsible for getting pregnant. You are responsible for training. And if you get punished for anything, it won't be because she got pregnant. It'll be because you didn't train her. Now, next thing. Their degree of responsibility is determined by the degree of light. You can make it easier for them to do right or easier to do wrong. But the final analysis, the decision, is theirs. Your sin is not in their turning out bad, but in not training them. Now, that means this. You say, Brother Hiles, and I don't know how many of our college young men, young males, young fellows at Shave, say this. Brother Hiles, I don't have any character, and it's my parents' fault. Oh, no, it isn't. It is your fault. You quit putting the blame off on somebody outside yourself. If your parents have committed any sin, it's not that they you don't have any character. They're not responsible for you having character. You are responsible for you having character. Now, they've been responsible for teaching you right. But if they don't teach you right, you still have enough light. Anybody knows it's wrong to lie? Anybody knows it's wrong to cheat? Anybody knows it's wrong not to work for your living? Anybody knows it's wrong to be lazy? My mom and dad didn't teach me any character. You have to be taught to work. Anybody knows to work? Anybody knows to be on time? Anybody knows to be diligent? Anybody knows to be honest? Anybody knows to be pure? Anybody knows to be decent? I'm saying it is not your daddy's fault if you don't have character. And he will not answer for your sin of having no character. He may answer for his sin of not training you, but not for your sin of having no character. If you're not a good worker, it's not your parents' fault. I said a while ago, if you're not a good wife, it's not because you're molested. I'm sick of that. Well, I just can't love my husband. And I just can't be affectionate to my husband because when I was a little girl, my daddy molested me, or I was molested by an uncle, or I was raped. But I don't care what happened to you, you little girl. The Bible is still the Bible. And God puts no conditions on His commandments. You look in the mirror, and you'll find the fault of the person in the mirror if he doesn't have any character. And if you are not a good wife, or a good husband, or a good father, or a good mother, or a good worker, you will see him when you look in the mirror, or see her when you look in the mirror. It's not anybody's fault but yours. Now, it could have been easier for you to make the decision, but the final analysis, okay, here's a guy who goes out and he sells. He's a high-pressure salesman. And he sells you a vacuum cleaner, and you have concrete floors. He sells you dancing lessons, and you've got a wooden leg. Now listen carefully. Look at me. You buy that vacuum cleaner. You didn't buy that vacuum cleaner because he was a high-pressure salesman. You bought that vacuum cleaner because you chose to buy the vacuum cleaner. Don't you do? When the payments come due, send a book to the salesman. See what the bank says about that. No, you decided. Now, he may have made it easier for you to decide, but you decided. And the responsibility for your sin is you. It rests upon you. And so, you don't loot because of your environment. You loot because you're a looter. You chose to loot. You chose. Those people in Los Angeles. Oh, they looted because they're black and blacks are mistreated. No, they looted because they chose to steal. And it's not the fault, of the people who mistreated them. Now, the people who mistreated them will answer to God for mistreating them, but not for the looting. Because we're supposed to treat each other right. We're supposed to train our children and train our young people and do our job. But that's what we get punished for, is our not doing our job. But if you loot or steal or cheat, you cannot blame your environment. And yet, what do? We put it in the newspaper. We get on talk shows and newscasts and tell the whole world. People like the idiot named Jesse Jackson. It's a synonym also. A preacher, supposed to be. Supposed to be a God-called preacher. In the first place, you ought to be out preaching instead of going around running for office. But he gets, and he defends the looters. And wants criminals to go free because they grew up in the ghetto.
Folks, if I don't turn out right, and I'm going to have to turn in a hurry. Whichever way I turn, I'm going to have to turn in a hurry. But if I don't turn out right, it won't be because my daddy was an alcoholic. If I don't turn out right, it won't be because my daddy never bought me but one piece of clothing and that was a $1 t-shirt one time. If I don't turn out right, it won't be because my daddy left us and mother had to go to work. If I don't turn out right, it's going to be because of my sister. She got everything first. It won't be because I didn't own a pair of shoes of my own until I was 14. It won't be because we almost starved to death. It won't be because we lived in the shack of a house. It won't be because my daddy didn't feed us like he should. It won't be because of the Depression. It won't be because we didn't have any heat. It won't be because we had outdoor toilets. It'll be because I chose to turn out bad. You have been swept up in a sorry generation of people that everybody's a victim. You are not a victim of circumstances. You are a victim of circumstances. So, preacher, do your best. Hear me now. Do your best. If you do your best, then you don't answer for the people that don't heed what you say. Do your best. Now, if you don't do your best, you still won't answer for people that don't heed what you say, but you'll answer for not doing your best. The sin is the sin of not doing your best. So, teacher, do your best. Give it all you got. Brother Eddie, give it all you got. Brother Jeff, give it all you got. Principals, give it all you got. Teachers, give it all you got. But if not one single young person that goes to Hammond Baptist Grade School, junior high school, on through Howells Anderson College, if not one single one of them turned out wrong, it will not be your fault they turned out wrong. It will be their fault they turned out wrong. Now, the thing you want to do is do your best, because if you do your best, then you have no sin to answer for at all. I'm talking to some parents here tonight. Probably a dozen of you that I know here tonight. Your daughter got pregnant. She's 17, 18 years of age. She wasn't married. She got pregnant. In the first place, it's not necessarily that you sinned. Listen to me. If you did your best, that's all God says to do. Now, if you didn't do your best, you're still not going to answer for her getting pregnant. You're going to answer for not training her, but not for her getting pregnant. If you have not done your best, you are not responsible. Whether you've done your best or not, you're not responsible for the results. If you haven't done your best, you're responsible for the sin of wrong input, but not the output. Now then, you want to know about, turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. This verse is quoted again later. Exodus 20, verse 5. Thou shalt not bow. Oh, I'll wait for you. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Visiting, notice the word visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now the key word there is the word visit. That means that if you sin as a father, that means that your sins are visited on your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, but they don't have to invite your sins in. You follow me? My father was a drunkard. Look at me and put your pencils and pens down and look at me. My father was a drunkard. When I was 5 years old, he set me on a bar and gave me some beer and asked me to drink it. 5 years old. We had liquor either liquor itself or the smell of liquor on his clothes or his breath in our house, as long as he lived at our house, at least two or three times a week. I can see my mother now taking a bottle of whiskey and taking it out in the backyard and having a rock and getting a fiendish look on her face and breaking that whiskey on a rock. I was taken to taverns, folks. I was taken to taverns when I was a little boy, 5 and 6 and 7 years old. I mean, I sat beside my daddy while he got drunk. I've never tasted any kind of alcoholic beverage. I did drink a Diet Coke one time, like a while ago. But I've never tasted alcohol. But if I became a drunken sot, it's not my daddy's fault. It's mine. Because I would have decided to drink. There are many pastors around this country, many pastors who think they've failed because they haven't had all the fruit that others have had. Brother, if a man of God stands up behind the pulpit of God and he prays and is filled with the Spirit and preaches the truth of God and walks with God and warns his people and works hard, if he pastors out in the country somewhere and never preaches to more than 35 people, if he's done his best, he's done a good job and he's not a failure. I talked to a man in this church who had 3 children. Not a one of them turned out to be worth shooting. I take that back. They all were worth shooting. But in our vernacular, not a one of them turned out to be worth shooting. He had a Sunday school class. He had taught those kids. I know. He had them in the nursery, the beginners, the primaries, the juniors, all the way through. He taught them. He read the Bible. He had taken them soul winning. He loved them. He had spent time with them. And all of them turned out to be as sorry as the devil. And he came to me and he said, "I want to resign my Sunday school class." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Because all 3 of my kids have turned out to be as sorry as the devil." I said, "I don't want you to resign." He said, "You want me turned out that kind of kids?" I said, "Son, I know what you turned in. I've watched you as you reared those kids. And I'm saying that those kids are responsible." Now, I want to help a few of you people who think you failed in some area, but I want to drive the point home to this, that you cannot blame your mother. Oh, you say my mother wasn't affectionate, so I'm not. No, you're not affectionate because you chose not to be affectionate. But my daddy was not very affectionate, and so I'm not. No, you're not affectionate because you have chosen not to be affectionate. You're not what you are because now you may have the same kind of nose your mother had, but you won't be judged for that, though she did have an ugly nose. You may have the same color hair your mother had, or in case you men, you may have the same absence of hair your father had, and that's inherited, and you can't help that. But anything, hear me carefully, it goes back to what I said so often. Anything that God commands you to do, you can will to do it. Now, sit up straight. Listen to me. Well, Brother Hiles, I have fits of depression. My father was that way, and I inherited from my father. If you inherited any father, you inherited from your father, the devil. But my Bible says, rejoice evermore. That's a command of God. God never gives a command. He does not give the wherewithal to obey. So if you're not a happy soul and don't rejoice, it's not because your mother wasn't a happy soul. It's because you've chosen not to be a happy soul because God commands you to rejoice and you're not doing it. You're disobeying the command of God. And it means you could do it if you choose to do it. I've said this often about other things. Take contentment. Well, I'm restless. My parents were restless. No. You're restless because you have not obeyed the command of God to be contented. Well, Brother Hiles, I can't hit it. It's in my genes. No, it's not in your wicked heart. Hear me carefully. If it is in your genes, your will can conquer your genes in the case of commands that God gives. God says, "Be ye content." It's a command of God. In Philippians, we're supposed to be content. Now, if we're not content, we've chosen not to be content, and it's not because that I inherited the genes from my mom or my dad, my parents, they handed it down to me. Hear me carefully. They may have handed it down to you, but you didn't have to reach out and take it. Now, they may be responsible for handing it down to you, but you're responsible for taking it. If I am dying on the desert, and I haven't had a drink of water, and my tongue is parched, and somebody walks up and gives me a bottle of whiskey and says, here, this'll take care of your thirst. I am still responsible if I drink that whiskey. Oh, Brother Hiles, they forced it on me. Oh, no, they didn't. He said again, I'll be through. You've got to realize that you draw a line about the sin that people commit. They may lead you toward wrong, but they are only responsible for leading it. Let me illustrate. Let's just say that wrong is right over there. Okay, you're my daddy. Stand up, Dad. Okay, you're my daddy, and I'm your little boy. Okay? And that's wrong over there. Okay, you lead me toward wrong. Hold my hand, Daddy. Now, he's leading me toward... Now, what's the sin he's committing? Leading me toward wrong. And... So what's the sin? The sin is leading me toward wrong. Is that right? All right, so he leads me toward wrong. And wrong is right there, that microphone right there. That's what's wrong. He points to it. And he tells me to take it. All right? So that's all the sin he can commit here. He led me toward wrong. But if I take that wrong, the sin of taking it is mine. The sin of leading me to it, it is his. So he's not going to answer to God for the sin of my taking it. He's going to answer to God for leading me to it. And the fact is, not one shred of responsibility have I left or lost. I am totally responsible. He led me here. It was my will that said to my hand, reach out and take that. And I am responsible. He brought me to it, but he did not make me do it. My will did it. Thank you, Brother John. So what does that mean? That means that you and I ought to do the very best we can to obey God, get the gospel out, train our children, train our young people in our schools, our church, preach the truth, try to make our people, our young people become good, solid Christian people. But if they don't, it is not our fault, whether we train them or not. If we don't train them, the fact that we disobeyed is our sin, but the fact that they turned out wrong is their sin. What are you going to say about Billy Sunday? Billy Sunday was preaching as an older man. He stood in the pulpit to preach. Ma Sunday told me this. Somebody pushed a paper in front of him, and the headline of that paper told about Billy Sunday being arrested in a bar being drunk. He shouted loud as he could, trust Jesus, grabbed his chest, slumped to the floor, and they said, never preached again. Do you think Billy Sunday is going to be responsible for that son drinking that liquor? No. Billy Sunday, perhaps the best Christian of his day. The only thing he could be responsible for was not obeying God by teaching his son. I happen to think that he and Ma did that. But when the judgment comes, that son will answer to God for his brawl, and Billy Sunday and Ma Sunday will not answer to God for their brawl, and neither will you. All we can do is do our best. You ever notice in the Old Testament some of the greatest Christians didn't have much success? Now, I believe in success. You ever notice that Jeremiah preached a lifetime and didn't have many people converted? Isaiah, they stoned him. You ever notice that? I'm saying these men were the great prophets of the Old Testament. God sent some men just to warn. Just to warn. They warned. You think it's Jeremiah's fault because Israel went into captivity? No, he warned them. You think it's Ezekiel's fault because Israel went into captivity? No, he warned them. You think it's Isaiah's fault because Israel went to Babylon? No, no, he warned them. But if they had disobeyed and not warned them, the people that chose to sin are responsible for the sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. They said, well, our fathers ate sour grapes and our teeth are set on edge. God said, don't you say that anymore. He said, that's not true. Your teeth are set on edge because you have eaten the sour grapes. Now, don't you leave this place and say, Brother Howell says it's not important for your kids, right? I didn't say that. I'm trying to put my finger on what the sin is. Because you parents, but it's my fault because my daughter or son didn't turn out right. It's my fault. No, it's their fault. It may be your fault because you didn't do your best, but it's not your fault they didn't turn out right. Because there's not a single person in America today that couldn't turn out right on what light they have. You got a conscience. If that's all you have, you got a conscience. So you're responsible for it. So you just sit up straight, like my mother used to say, and said, son, you be a little man. I can't do that anymore, but you just sit up straight and be a little man. And you girls out to college, quit your whining because somebody molested. And I'm sorry they molested you, but that's not why you're not going to be a good wife. It's because you refuse to obey the command of God to be a good wife. Every man, Romans 14:12 says, will give an account of himself to God. So the sin that I've committed is not partaking of the sin that you've committed if I committed one. The sin that I've committed stands on its own. I have not warned. But when it comes to your sin of not heeding, that's your sin and not mine. And you'll be responsible for what you do. I won't be responsible. My responsibility is, okay, let me show you. My father again. Okay, a while ago you took me over and led me to that sin. Now this time you wave no and won't warn me from it. I'm going to go to it. Man, get with it. Good night. You don't care much, do you? Wave at, holler at me, scream at me. Say, son, don't do it. Get on your knees and beg me.
Son, please don't do it. No, no, no.
Okay. Now, consequently, I go ahead on my own. He is not responsible for one solitary thing. But if he leads me to it, he's not responsible for me taking it. He's responsible for leading me to it. But, thank you, Dad, but there's not one single person in this room that can point to any other person and say, it is your fault because I did that. But Brother Hiles, it was a beautiful night. Her hair was flowing in the breeze. She had on temptation number 14. Her lips were ruby red. Her cheeks were so soft and smooth looking. I just had to kiss her. No, you didn't. She tempted me. She tempted me. She may have tempted you, but you're the person that did it. And she'll answer for kissing you, but she won't answer for you kissing her. Because all she can do is lead you to it. But she can't make you do it. Shall we stand?